It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
You were licking me.
What?
He was licking me!
Lunch Hour Reviews.
He's mad paid until he bursts.
You ain't Jadis!
Speeding time. I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, covering all things horror.
With a new episode every Macabre Monday, we explore the genre with sharp focus and deep production.
We want you to love scary movies as much as we do, so we don't overshare plots or give spoilers.
Spoilers.
Welcome back to another Lunch Hour Review. I hope you enjoyed our J-Horror episodes trilogy.
Yeah. By this point, they will have heard the intro episode with Haosu and Tetsuo, the Iron Man.
Yeah.
It was a slow build.
Yes.
It was a nice peek at part two with the Ring and the Grudge. And then we had Charles Meyer on from Miskatonic Musings to talk kaiju movies and Godzilla, the King of the Monsters. And we're going crazy informal now.
Yeah, totally. Back to Lunch Hour Review.
But so this week, you were the first of us to watch it. The Conjuring 2 is on HBO Go, so you gave it a look. You weren't a wild fan of the first one. I was a little surprised that you dove into this. But you occasionally do that. From time to time, you will watch a sequel that, like, on face value looks pretty bad. Well, I think you've seen most of the Insidious movies for some god-awful reason.
I've seen all of the Insidious movies, and I hate them.
How many hours are you never getting back from Insidious?
And still, though, I don't think of it with such, like, anger as something like Magnolia, which I think I'll never get those, like, 1,000,004 hours back. But yeah, Insidious, terrible. Conjuring, not so great either. I didn't mind Conjuring 2, though. This is from 2016, and I like the Ed and Lorraine Warren story.
Meet professional demonologists Ed and Lorraine Warren.
A poltergeist can be terrifying. So anybody says that a poltergeist is mischievous, they better take a second look.
During their 50 years of hunting ghosts, Ed and Lorraine claim to have encountered hundreds of poltergeists. They've also been the subject of numerous books and have consulted on several high-profile cases, including the Amityville Horror.
Poltergeist is nothing more than a devil or a demon as far as we're concerned. People say, this guy's going back into the medieval ages. There are no such things as devils or demons. Yes, there are.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
So for those unfamiliar, Ed and Lorraine Warren, before the Conjuring movies kind of turned them into like road traveling superheroes or exorcists, I guess their heyday was in like the late 80s. They featured big in the Amityville Haunting.
Yeah.
And in this story, they were actually more like peripheral characters. As it relates to the Enfield Haunting, they came in like after all the hubbub for the most part.
Right. So the way that this movie is kind of put together, though, it's always based around Ed and Lorraine. And so it kind of superimposes them into certain things. Sort of like, what is that, historical fiction?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, fine. Let them show up. Let them solve some crimes. But, yeah, it's not at the true storiness of The Conjuring 2. It's not exciting, really, at all.
Yeah, one of my biggest frustration. So the Green Street Enfield Haunting, as far as like YouTube documentaries, of which there are tons.
Right.
I've seen a couple on this one, and this is the closest I ever come to like legit believing in the paranormal and ghost stories. There were a number of eyewitness accounts, a lot of which were police officers who just, you know, were watching shit float and drag across the room.
Mostly dragging across the room, which makes me think the house is on some sort of not stable kind of thing.
If it was a pinball machine, the light would be going off.
Yeah, tilt, exactly.
Cheater. Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess because that was my initial attachment, I didn't, and also knowing that, like, the Enfield Haunting was relatively without danger. There wasn't really menace to the haunting. I think the creepiest it got was the sort of visions of the old man who was confused why people were in his house. If he was a spirit, then he was long dead and he was kind of lost.
That's so sad.
It is. And I could see being like cranky, but I could,
Get out of my house.
Yeah. So those elements are particularly strong. We'll get into how the movie portrays them. I thought that was some of the best stuff. I actually really liked when that old guy is channeling through the daughter. But yeah, okay. So where do we jump in? James Wan.
So directed by James Wan, story also screenplay James Wan.
After the first one was a pretty huge success, and that I think it was Blumhouse, right? These movies generally made for a modest budget, and The Conjuring, the first one, was a huge hit, and I actually liked that one a lot more than you did. I don't know. I dug the slow build. That said, by the time we got to the second one, I felt like, all right, let's change some stuff up a little bit.
Really? I liked this one better than the first one.
That's peculiar.
I like The Conjuring. Well, number one, it starts with Amityville, and you know how much I love that DeFeo murder.
After everything we've seen, there isn't much that rattles either of us anymore. But this one still haunts me. Two months prior to our involvement, the Lutz family had fled their home in the middle of the night, claiming that the house was haunted. The church had reached out to us for help. They wanted to see if we could confirm the activity that had been reported by the Lutzes.
Okay, we ready? Then let's get started.
I'd like you to sit quietly and close your eyes. Envision yourself in a halo of glowing white light. It will protect you. The year before the Lutzes moved in, a young man named Ronnie DeFeo had brutally murdered his entire family in this house. We'd hoped to discover if the killings had been motivated purely by anger, or if, as Ronnie DeFeo testified in court, he had been under the influence of something demonic.
We also see the little kid. Oh, the little kid.
And that was...
love that image, and it scares me every time I think about that image. And I know that it's, like, obviously a kid must have run into the frame.
Yeah, memory serves. Like, they did account for, like, what kid that was and what he was doing there.
But the
initial thing was, like, there was no child in this house, and someone tripped a motion sensor, and there he was on film.
And so to see it then in The Conjuring 2.
It was a nice little nod.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, you know, Jackson and I were watching this together, and I was like, oh, my God, it's that picture. And he's like, what? And then I had to stop the movie and, like, and
look up,
tell him the whole thing and, like, go into the DeFeo murders, because I like to educate people on horrific murders.
So the first Conjuring with the Perrone family, I liked it as a slow build. I thought it arrived at a pretty great place. I like the characters enough.
I like Lily Taylor.
She's great.
Yeah. I love to see her.
Yeah. And so by the end of that one, when things are going nuts, like, I loved it. I was involved. I was invested. Great. I didn't feel as compelled this time around with the Conjuring 2.
I liked this one more. And I don't know what was wrong with me, but honestly, I kept getting scared. Like, really scared watching this movie.
Yeah, I've started to do a thing, like, so that I don't jump, like, literally upwards in my seat. Like, I just tense my arms really tight against my body. It's like I'm freezing and I'm shivering. Like, I bring everything close and tight.
Move.
That's my thing now for some reason. But
I like
it made
to pull a blanket
a couple
up
times.
Over my face.
Yeah.
Like, not over my eyes. Just, like, kind of around my mouth for some reason. it's like how I like to watch it. So I sat a lot.
Very
like that.
Modest. Is it covering the mouth?
And there was a couple scenes where I actually just yelled outside of my face.
Huh.
And I was like, ah, like that. Because I don't scream. I just go, ah, like that.
That's probably good, like, as a defensive measure, because you're not showing fear. If anything, you're like, yeah, you're making noise. You're attacking back. It's a good offense is the best defense. They say
I never
that.
Do that high-pitched scream. I just go, like, I would be terrible in a movie. They'd be like, women don't scream like that. And I'd be like, I do. Ah!
Wow.
Was it The Nun that got you to scream?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I can't wait. Corin Hardy got a hold of this next film, The Nun, that's the next spinoff from this. And he's great with monsters. And
Corin Hardy
excited.
From The Hallow.
Yeah, from The Hallow.
We've had on this podcast.
Exactly. I'm so excited to see The Nun because he's going to do a great monster with her. And she's excellent.
It's a great
Some
aesthetic.
Of the great
she,
imagery.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, she looks really haunting.
One of my favorite scenes is when Patrick Wilson has painted a picture of the nun and the picture's on the wall.
Yeah.
And you can't tell whether you're looking at the painting because the way that the shadow is done, and it's done brilliantly. It's such a good scene.
Yeah.
And you can't tell whether she's actually there or it's just the image you're looking at.
Right, right. And then the shadow play along the wall.
Yeah. I mean, that's brilliant. It's something that James Wan, like, that scene alone is just, like, standout. Great work.
Ultimately, I'm a fan. I think he designs a really great scare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed by him. I will say there were, like, an almost conspicuous number of, like, crane shots in this movie. I felt like the cinematography called attention to itself a couple of times in a bad way.
Okay.
And so I found that kind of frustrating, especially, you know, cinematography, best case scenario, it is subtly establishing tone. If it's transparent, then more power to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it called attention to itself a couple of times. And considering there's very sparse music in the movie, like those two things kind of made it hard for me to get into.
I wasn't bothered by some of that. It is occasionally like schlocky kind of filming.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of on purpose because that's what I expect from this brand. James Wan, more than anything, and especially The Conjuring and Insidious, is a brand, and you expect this kind of thing. You're not going to break, it's not going to be Rosemary's Baby.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm expecting certain things, and when it happens, and it's kind of like, what do I want to say, less than delicate, I'm not that bothered by it. Because, less than delicate. I'm not bothered by it because that's kind of what I expect in these kind of big franchise movies. And honestly, for these kind of franchise movies, that movie, Conjuring 2, really did scare the shit out of me a few times.
Yeah, overall, I was okay with it. I think if someone enjoyed the first one, yes, I would recommend
Definitely.
The second one. Do I think it's a good movie? Barely.
Barely
arrives at good.
It's fun if you have some friends over and you want to watch something with jump scares, though.
Yeah, yeah. I would
recommend it for that.
Fun in terms of, like, just, you know, pretending Ed and Lorraine Warren are the Scooby Gang and just, like, traveling the country and ghost busting. On that level, I dug it. And this movie in particular, like, this is kind of a nod to the real thing as far as Lorraine Warren's health declining and her, I don't know if the story has ever really been told, but it seems like she might have had some mental health issues in the last like 20 years.
You know, she's a real holy roller.
Right,
and
right,
she's always been. And so I don't know, is that mental health? You know, it's just that she's very devout and that kind of leads her to believe things, and she sticks by it, and this woman hasn't really changed her views since the 70s.
Yeah, so the movie specifically is kind of like the test of her psyche, and the nun appears pretty early, and it seems like agenda-driven, like the nun is there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also found that a little frustrating that, like, they were sort of disparate villains, if you will. Not to say anything of, is it Javier Botet? So there's also featured like
the Crooked Man.
Is that what they called him in the credits?
It's the Crooked Man who walks a crooked mile.
Yeah. rooted miles.
Down and just tell me what happened.
No,
I don't know. I think
he's
been walking
the around. Crooked man stepped forth and rang the crooked bell, and thus his crooked soul spiraled into a crooked hell. Murdered his crooked family and loved a crooked laugh.
It's always nice, though, to see Javier Botet. You're totally right. Being this crooked man, and it's really nice and creepy.
Yeah. And in the context of the scenes, that he isn't a CG character, that he is a incredibly tall man. What, Marfan syndrome? Is that?
Yeah.
Is that his condition?
Much like Abraham Lincoln, they think.
Yeah. So, like, really lanky, but at the same time, agile.
He's a great body worker, you know, and so I always think of him. For me, probably my favorite monster is in Record.
Yeah,
you know, he's probably my favorite.
Yeah,
there.
He's like the forgetful scientist, but haunted. Like, yeah, no, the REC, his role in REC is I just see him like pacing around that room.
Yeah,
just kind of like for yeah, I yeah, I don't know, it was really eerie.
And he
but
gets
in this,
so
he's
much
way
work.
More aggressive.
Oh, he's excellent, creepy, and awesome. I love when he... There's a great dog scene.
I did have a note that... So, of the four kids in the movie, I don't know, something happens to one of the kids, and he's not around. Maybe he's like a I don't know, a friend of one of the kids.
Yeah,
but
where the hell
so
is that kid?
The two girls and the two boys to start,
yeah.
And one of the two boys has a stutter, and I wrote in my notes, $10 says by the end of this movie, that kid's going to be cured of his stutter.
Yes, that was quickly forgotten about. Much like the other brother, just forgotten about.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But I the Enfield Haunting sort of, I mean, the documentaries featured specifically one daughter was this sort of channel and the other was, I don't know, pestered alongside her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there were even moments that kind of harken to the Fox sisters as far as like
yes.
the questioning going on between, you know, initially their mom, and then she is witness to a number of things, and then...
Have you two been playing with this? Taking turns, scaring the wits out of each other? No wonder I can't get a good night's sleep. No, I don't want to hear another word. Now get back to bed. The lot of you!
I thought there was a really kind of funny scene in terms of the first time the reporter wants to interview the family and go inside the house and have a look for themselves. She responds negatively. She does not want the attention. She does not want the fame. The guy's like essentially saying like, I'll make you and your kids famous. And she's like, no, like, can you imagine an era where people are like, would you like some fame? We're giving it out for free. And it's like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I actually was having that kind of conversation with my mother when we were talking about someone was doing a YouTube stunt just recently and got shot because that was part of the YouTube stunt.
Oh,
and
boy.
I thought to myself, like, there's a whole nother level now of Darwin Awards now that we're in this super fame privileged
yeah. it's
world.
Like, yeah, proactively working against your own... Not even self-interest, but like self-preservation.
Yeah, just to be famous.
Wow.
Right. And
being
so then
famous
to have
must
this,
be pretty good.
To have this lady be like, no, I don't want to share my ghosts with other people. I don't know. Like what? Share and like.
I did want to mention there's a pretty good reality TV, made for TV version of this story that came out. The BBC put it together back in 92. And it's on Shudder. It's called Ghost Watch.
The program you're about to watch is a unique live investigation of the supernatural. It contains material which some viewers may find to be disturbing. No creaking gates, no Gothic towers, no shuttered windows. Yet for the past 10 months, this house has been the focus of an astonishing barrage of supernatural activity.
It mostly holds up. It was a pretty solid, like, Halloween night expose on this house where two daughters are being haunted, one in particular. and, you know, there's a poltergeist messing with everybody, and there's a studio team, and there's psychics at play. It's dynamic. I dug it. Ghost Watch on Shudder. And it's very much modeled after the Enfield Haunting. And it's English, so it's that much more authentic.
Wait, so it's real or no?
No, it's shot like a live show that night.
Okay.
So it's cut together like a newscast almost.
I see, but it's totally scripted. Like how yes. You at first were telling me about Black Tapes a long, long time ago, and I was like, how is this real? Like you told it to me like it was a real thing.
Whoops.
And I was like, I don't think this is real.
So about 50 minutes into the movie, we're introduced to the scientist skeptic who's going to be contributing, Franka Potenke. But at first glance, I was like, run, Lola, run. Now I care.
I had just seen her in Taboo, and she was like excellent in Taboo.
Oh, I haven't seen Taboo.
Oh, well.
I guess she's also love interest in the first Bourne Identity movie. She's in a little bit of the second one.
And she's Anne Frank in American Horror Story.
Yeah,
she shows up in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
She's such a bitch in this, and I love her. She's so, like, smug. And you just want to punch her in the face, or you want a ghost to punch her in the face more than anything. That's what you would be if you were in this.
What?
You would be, because you're like the skeptic, you know, and you'd be like,
oh yeah,
see, I told you so.
I'd just embrace the like condescending self-righteousness.
And I would be like, and Lorraine Warren.
Family sticks together. This, on the other hand, is a lost cause.
Oh, bloody hell. We've had all sorts of things stop working for no reason at all.
Well, we're going to have music in here one way or another. Whose guitar is that?
All right, so also in my notes is the question, did Patrick Wilson do this movie on the condition that he gets to sing?
Because he's a real, you know, actor.
Well,
he's a musical theater
he's
person.
He's a musical theater guy.
Yeah, and I forget it. And then there he goes singing a song.
The second act of this movie is just like a showreel for that fucking guy.
And you know I can't with that waxy fucking face.
I don't especially appreciate that, like, the running theme of, like, bringing the family together. It's like faith and the love of this new man will get this family through this all.
Yeah.
And there are a few movies that Patrick Wilson is good. It is really good.
Yeah.
This is not one of those movies.
No. No. Like, in these movies, as these James Wan, Patrick Wilson movies, just, it's a low bar. I think he's just like, just do whatever you feel like doing. And Patrick Wilson's like, I feel like playing a guitar and singing an Elvis song. And James Wan goes, sure, sure, fine.
Yeah, I think he responds well to direction. I'm not certain he got a lot. Like, I'm just looking. He was great in Bone Tomahawk.
Yes.
He was terrific in Hard Candy. He was very good in Little Children.
Yes.
Fargo Season 2, like, is an excellent season of TV, and he does, like, the Midwest. Like, yeah. He does the Minnesota accent. Yeah, he's capable of being great. This is a cheese ball fest of just like, look at me, aren't I great, and I'm gonna save everybody. By the point they're singing Elvis together, like, they were 3 seconds away from just breaking out to a Care Bear stare.
It was really revolting, that scene. Like, I was so bothered by it. I was like, why is this happening? And you know what else too I noticed, and you might be right on the way that the direction is being given, because Vera Farmiga is a great actor.
Yeah.
And in Bates Motel, she is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, brilliant. And in this, even though she is running the show and she's very capable of holding this movie down just herself, it's still, like, not her best.
Yeah.
She could do so much more.
Yeah. And the sideliner for a lot of the movie, because she's kind of treated as very delicate. She wants this to be their last time that they're going out to ghost bust. And so, yeah, she's kind of giving like an 80% effort.
Right.
She's in like 25% of the movie. So there's not a lot that she gives
us. She's trying her best. I still like that. No, I still defend this movie. I would honestly recommend The Conjuring too.
Despite over the first one, would you say?
Yes.
Because it's not as if you need to have seen the first one.
Right.
They introduce you to the characters.
Which is similar to Insidious. You don't actually have to watch any of the others either.
I'll do you one better. I'm not going to watch any more of those movies.
I'll just keep watching for the both of us.
So the corner of the haunted living room pretty clearly had black mold in the corner.
Yes.
I don't know if they considered that the real killer in the house is mold.
You know what's funny is when I watch some of these, and I know that it's public housing that they're living in, so maybe that's like the standards are really low, but like, it was pretty, like, clean your fucking wall.
Yeah, considering the ghosts weren't malicious, like, the real threat there is
COPD.
Is killer mold. Yeah,
yeah.
That's everybody out. We're going to call in some hazmat guys. Who gives a fuck about the ghosts? They're not a threat to anyone. The real danger is, like, you're going to get sick and die.
You know what,
like,
the real danger, though, besides that black mold, is probably also part of what's causing the black mold. The fact that the basement's totally flooded and she thinks that's totally normal. And I'm not talking, like, a little tiny puddle. It's, like, 4 foot deep in there.
Yeah, it does. I was confused in that moment because, like, yes, there is a leak in the basement. That's seemingly been going for the month.
Yeah.
Like, it is a swimming pool down there. And there's no real, like, maybe we should call public services and have this dredged. Like, there's...
Yes.
Yeah, of course the house is full with mold. Like, your basement is a swamp.
Exactly. And Patrick Wilson's like, not only can I play the guitar and sing songs, I can also fix pipes.
Pretty handy. Pretty handy with the wrench.
Yeah, it just seemed like to be so many things, like... I don't own a house. I have an apartment. And so I don't have to worry about these items. But, like, I feel like if I owned a house, and I'm pretty irresponsible, but I feel like if I owned a house, I wouldn't let it be 4 foot deep of water in there. And then I thought to myself, are there snakes in England? I'm not quite sure.
No, St. George got them all out.
I thought St. Patrick drove them out of Ireland, but probably not North Ireland since that's part of England.
I probably said the wrong name also.
George killed a dragon.
Right. I think he's supposed to be the patron saint of England. However,
yes, he is.
I think he's also completely invented. Like, I don't think there's historical backing for his existence.
There's not historical backing for dragons. So no, Darren, probably not.
In any case, England doesn't really have snakes. No.
No, right. So then I thought, well, at least there's not going to be snakes in that water. Like, that's the only thing that watching this, I was like, snakes? And then I was like, I don't think there's any. And then I went on this, like, geographic, like, thought process about snakes.
In that basement, there does come a time where a steam pipe cracks, opens up.
It's not funny. Like,
gives Patrick Wilson, like, second-degree burn.
On his eyeballs.
In the eyes. Steam burns. Those are horrible, horrible burns.
It just makes his eyes blurry.
And it gets him right in the eyes. And he just needs to, like, splash some water in those eyes and really just shake it off. Rub some dirt on it. Walk it off.
Maybe it wasn't steam. It was just mace. Because that's how everything was being treated.
Oh, yeah. Those mace pipes. Those will get you. You got to be really careful around mace pipes.
Yeah. It maybe takes him, like, 20 minutes, and then he's fine again. He's just fine and well with his steamed eyeballs.
So I mentioned the... corner of the living room that's got the old chair that was there before they moved in, and apparently that was the old man's favorite place to sit, and so that is where he
died as well.
Oh, right, he died there. And
so
according
there'd
be
to shit the and piss all over that chair.
According
Let's
to the epilogue,
honest.
He's not the only one who died in that chair. That was kind of a weird
the
addendum.
Death chair.
Yeah. So that's where the youngest daughter goes to sit, where they sort of do this seance where they're not allowed to look at him.
Am I talking to the spirit that's oppressing this family?
Is that what I am? Is that what I'm doing?
Yes. I've come to put a stop to it. Do you know who I am?
Ed. Eddie. Edward.
Ed is fine.
Your father calls you Edward.
Not true. My father called me Ed just like everybody else. Come on, on, Bill. You're not a psychiatrist, and I'm not here to talk about my father. Let's get down to business. What do you say?
Even in the theatrical version of this encounter, they're not allowed to make eye contact or be looking right in the direction of this possessed person.
And so Franca Potente is like clearly like, guys, let's really be honest here.
Yeah, she's supposed to be keeping like a glass, like a big sip of water in her mouth so that
stupidest
she can't
shit I've ever
do
heard,
the voice
quite honestly.
And, yeah,
that was Patrick silly. Wilson's idea, or Ed Warren's idea. Like, oh, she can't fool us this way.
And he was so confident and like, through our years of ghost busting, I've figured out a couple tricks on how to catch hacks. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Now you're pointing out all the stupid parts.
Okay, that said, the moments of possession were actually very close to the original recordings. And the performance is great. Yeah. As far as like whoever did the old man voice that the girl is sort of lip syncing with, that shit was scary. I mean, it's a great audio visual combo to have like a young girl speaking through the voice of an old man. Like, that's fucking creepy.
Why don't you just leave these people alone?
Because this is my house.
It's not your house.
Yes, it is. I come here to see my family. They're not here now.
That's because you're dead. If your family did live here, they're long gone now.
Yeah, he was a creeper. I love also at the end how we get some real pictures compared to the stills from the film. And I love that shit.
Yeah.
Because I'm ready to believe, you know?
Yeah. Had you been familiar with the Enfield Haunting stuff before the movie?
No, only when I heard Conjuring 2 was coming out did I start. I mean, because the same thing with Annabelle. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to like dive further into the Annabelle story.
Yeah, she makes a little cameo. Yeah.
Yeah.
In this. She's in their trophy room.
I want to go into that trophy room so badly.
I want to go into the trophy room in the movie. The photographs of the actual like museum. It looks like a hoarder's garage of like tchotchkes and trinkets and things. I think a couple months ago they did like a web feed of the Annabelle doll, like mm-hmm. overnight. It might have been an anniversary of something or whatever, but that room, a lot of clutter, and Annabelle is not half as frightening as the theatrical version doll.
Right.
Annabelle looks like Raggedy Ann.
Right, exactly.
So not menacing.
Not a creeper. But I love that idea, and I would love to like see Ed and Lorraine Warren fight crime and like checking every single item in there. I want to know what some of those items are.
Yeah. So the Perrone family, I guess that memento, I think it's right next to the kid carousel that he puts on the shelf. I don't remember what that one was. Maybe it was like a music box. I don't remember what the thing, but he essentially stole it from the house. Like it was it was an item that might have had some spiritual possession involved. I don't know. But in any case, like we do get a glimpse of the shelf where the newest prop is going up.
Yeah.
And there was still a part of me I was like, you just stole that from their house. Like we didn't, there was no scene where like, I'm going to keep this safe and away from
you.
Yeah. There was nothing. Yeah. There was no donation.
In a way he's like a serial killer who keeps mementos. I just like the idea. And I love the two of them as like old people crime fighters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I, for whatever reason, I like the first, I think I'll go back and rewatch the first one. I'm curious if I like it as much as I did the first time around. But
I was just really scared, and I liked that. I hadn't been really scared in a while.
Yeah. There were a couple of good jumps. There were, I don't want to give stuff away. Forget it. But yeah, consistent with the old man and just, appearances one way or another. That stuff really worked well. Mm-hmm. I really dug it. But yeah, I don't know. Overall, like I was left wanting for the most part. Like I said,
fine.
I think it's barely good.
It's what to expect from this franchise.
Yeah.
I would say that. I would say it represents the franchise.
I can't remember if they're planning on doing a second one, a third one already.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, because I know None is coming out next year. 2018 is when None is coming out.
And did they do
They did Annabelle. They're going to do an Annabelle 2.
That one's coming out. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're kind of busy with all that.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. But yeah, next we're looking forward to Corinne Hardy's The Nun.
They're going to do another spinoff from this. So we have The Nun with Corinne Hardy, but they're going to do The Crooked Man is kind of what they're talking about right now, doing a film with him, which will be creepy
and awesome. I think just in terms of like what's out and in the zeitgeist, The Tall Man, there's a lot of overlap as far as that aesthetic. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, hopefully it's Javier Botet. Like
Slender Man.
I keep saying the Tall Man, but yeah, I mean the Slender Man.
That's that Jessica Biel movie that's not good.
Okay, all through this episode, I think I said Tall Man a number of times.
But, that's okay. It's I'm not going to edit that out.
The Crooked Man. Crooked Man shares some features with...
Slender Man.
Slender Man. Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for our talk on The Conjuring 2. I hope you go see it, actually. I think people should see it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
if you know what you're in for, watch it. It's like a fun Friday night film. As always, you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook at Rance Macabre. We're on Instagram. You can always check out our website, therancemacabre.com. And if you want to send us a Gmail, we have therancemacabre@gmail.com.
Yeah, drop us a line. We love hearing from you guys.
If you're finding us on iTunes, or it doesn't matter where you're finding us through, go on to iTunes and give us a review. Give us some stars. I don't care where you're listening to us from.
Yeah, drop us a line. It helps us spread the podcast. Share us with a friend. Give us a review. Visit the website. Yeah, get involved. We love hearing from you guys.
Yeah, we're also on Patreon. So you can find us at patreon.com/rancemacabre. And we have a whole catalog of stuff and things. We have Telephone Terror this month.
Yeah. And we're starting a feature. We're working up to our Rance Macabre Top 25 Horror Movies of All Time.
Yeah.
And Patreon listeners will get the bloody struggle of what it takes to negotiate down to 25 between the two of us.
And, like, I'm going to tell you right now, the thing is not going to be number one, so there might be some fist fighting here.
That'll do it for me. This is me, Darren, signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks. The Rance Macabre. Cutting.
Cultured.
And curated.